Such a joy to tonight to have with us one of our absolute heroes as a generation. This whole family to me is just a hero family. I love the Ingle family. I just think they're one of the most amazing families in the world. We've got a number of the Ingle clan here with us tonight, which is such a blessing. So the Lord just, and Lou will probably share some of this story, but the Lord just linked us together sovereignly over the last number of years. And he linked us together not in a way like a ministry partnership. Nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't how he linked us together. He truly linked us together out of family and out of deep love and out of deep commitment to run after the same cause and the same breakthroughs and the same words of the Lord. And as the Lord linked us together, we've had the privilege over the last several years just to run together super closely. You know, the Circuit Riders with the Ingle family, we've been so blessed to have Josiah Ingle out in our last DTS in Kona, Hawaii, which was just amazing. Josiah is one of my heroes, all over the Himalayas with his guitar, worshiping Jesus. And we just absolutely love this family. And so tonight, can we just welcome up Lou Ingle to come and share with us what God's put on his heart? You want to be up there? Up to you. Now, I just have to say that Lou Ingle looks incredibly like Sean Connery tonight. What a good-looking man. I feel like he, like, lost 10 years in the last, like, number of months because he was fishing in Colorado. That's what did it. It always renews youth when you go fishing. Is this true?
This is true. My son just turned 16, and in the mountains, he begged me not to cut it until his birthday. And then my daughter Gloria begged me to keep me growing my beard. She says, "You only have one shot in life to look like Tom Selleck."
Tom Selleck or Sean Connery?
Tom Selleck is what she said.
Oh, but mustache. Yeah. Come on. Anyway. So what you're telling us is you're going to grow okay.
I need a lot of help to be Tom Selleck, but never mind.
We're so honored to have you with us, Lou.
Thank you.
Why don't you guys just stretch out your hands towards this amazing man. Lord, we love Lou. We love Lou. God, we thank you that you, when you made him in his mother's womb, you put courage inside of him, God. His DNA screams courage, God. His genetic pool screams courage. And his whole life, Lord, he has courageously warred to see you get glory on this earth, Father. We thank you that Lou and his family have inspired a whole generation, Lord, to courageously pursue you, to take you at your word, to run hard after you, Lord. We just thank you for all the walls that have been broken down because of Lou and his family, Lord. We honor them tonight out of just deep love for them, deep affection for them, God. Not just because of what they've accomplished in their ministry, Lord, but out of deep love for them, God. We love the Ingle family, so we bless them tonight. We honor Lou, and we're just hungry to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to show a video that was done by Boston YWAM that was born out of our prophetic whirlwind, Andy and Brian and all that we're doing. And this video was just shown, Tyler told me, this video was just shown in Mexico at the YWAM base in Mexico. And I guess they're shifting everything to stir all of Mexico to a message called Ekbalo laborers into the harvest. Come on, all of Mexico. Let's believe that the YWAM will stir all of Mexico to go to the unreached people groups. So I want to watch this video because I really like it.
The eternal plan of God is this, to hasten the return of our Lord by following his program for this age, which is to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness to all nations. He saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, for they were helpless, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, listen to me right here. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. 7,000 unreached people groups. 2.9 billion people have not received the gospel yet. God is going to unleash this prayer into the earth. Lord of the harvest, thrust forth laborers into the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The word is send there, but in the Greek it's expo. Lord of the harvest, expo laborers into the harvest. I want you to lift your eyes, not just to America, not just to the inner cities and to your schools. I want you to lift your eyes to the end of the earth. 7,000 people groups, 2.9 billion have never heard the gospel, and only 10% of the missionaries on the fields, of the foreign fields, are in the unreached people groups. Something wrong. We have a radical, radical perspective. The harvest is great. Is that an awesome video? Man, I don't know who that guy's voice is, but man, that's an awesome voice. I mean, and Mexico's YWAM just saw that, one of the cities, and said they're going to turn, change everything and make this the point of action, is to pray Ekbalo laborers from Mexico into the harvest field. What if this goes to every nation? I'm going to Belgium to major leaders across Europe, to the Netherlands this year, and they've asked me to preach 3 days on Ekbalo laborers into the harvest field, that Europe would once again hear the sound of the student missions movement and go, stand with me. I want you to pray right now. This is what I want you to pray. I want to pray for the Ganges River. I wish I had this up on my video. There's a young lady. It was a young lady in 1997, and her dad, very wealthy family. Her dad, for her graduation, built her a horse farm. Her dream was to train and ride horses. He built her a horse farm, but before she could graduate and get on the farm, she had a radical encounter with Jesus and said, "I am sending you to India." She told her dad, broke his heart, but she says, "I got to go to India." She said, "It was that sacrifice when my dad saw that I was that radical. He gave his life to Jesus Christ." Someone said, don't ask what your obedience costs someone else. Don't ask what your obedience to God may cost someone else. Obey God and let him deal with them. She went there as a single woman. She's just this small. And she went there as a single woman, and she just lived among the people, and the Lord spoke to her to prayer walk all over the Ganges. She prayer walks, and then the Lord gives her a word to go in to the temple in this place and bind the strong man in the temple. She goes into the temple, and under her breast, she binds the strong men. That night, the principality and power of that region appeared to her, threatening to kill her. But she bound that thing and cast him out. Today, because of that young lady, today there are 20,000 churches, 350,000 people have come to Christ and are forming house churches all along the Ganges. She tells her story that she went to Varanasi and she played her guitar in the zone where the big, what do you call those holy guys? The sadhu. She decided to worship God where the sadhu had his marked out area. And all the people watched her play and worship God out in public. And they stood way far from her because they were afraid of what was going to happen. Suddenly that sadhu came rolling out of his hut to take this gal on. Suddenly he freaks out and just simply turns around and runs back to his hut. And all the people run forward to get the tracks.
She said, we've seen this major breakthrough since 1997. But seems like we've hit a wall. And we have a vision called the 2020 vision. That before the year 2020, 20% of the Ganges Hindus will come to Christ. My friend, prophet friend of 29 years, just had a dream. In the dream, I was looking, and our team and our leaders were looking through these cross-eyed, you know when you look, you do eye testing and you see those letters? You know how that works? And in the dream, the eye tester was actually, it looked like a cross. We were a cross-eyed people. We were seeing God's vision through the cross. And in the dream, my letters were ID up at top. And I knew that God was saying, this is your identity as a fasting, praying, breakthrough man. The top one was ID. The next one was DNA, divine national assignments. The next one was DIA, divine international assignments. And the next one was India, all those same letters. And in the dream, I had 2020 vision. I think I know my assignment for the next 7 years. Send teams of fasting and prayer for breakthroughs in the heavens. And then send YWAM by the thousands. And acts by the thousands, and sweep the harvest of the Hindu world. Come on. Lift your hands. I want you to pray. Ekbalo, laborers all over the world to the Ganges in northern India. Go ahead, lift your voices tonight. Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo, laborers. Ekbalo, intercessors. Ekbalo, laborers from the whole globe. The indigenous church multiply. Lord, tonight we ask for the 2020 vision of northern India. 2,500 unreached people groups. We ask for 20% of the Ganges tonight to come to Jesus Christ. Lord of the harvest. Ekbalo, laborers. Thrust forth laborers in the name of Jesus, we pray, God. Even tonight, I pray that you would call men and women to India. Even in this incredible little book, you can sit down. As I've been stirred by this, if I can find it, maybe Gloria can help me, or somebody can. Oh, yes. Even stirred by this book, it's called A Passion for Souls by Oswald Smith. Has been stirred for India. And there's several of us here tonight that are actually going, and I'm not going to tell you where we're going and when we're going, but our team's preparing right now to go to Varanasi. Well, I just told you where we're going. Better take that one off the tape. Oh, yeah, there's this. That's what I saw. That's what he saw. And in the dream, each of us, the people he saw, had 2013 or 2015. That the people had vision for 2015 or 2013. But I had vision for 2020. Come on, that is amazing. I'm thinking, God, give us the Ganges, and then we'll go to Tibet. Yeah. No, you couldn't think of that. Dreams, come on. You couldn't even make up these kinds of things. Father, I pray, release dreams of destiny, God. My own son's in India right now, And Nepal just had a dream of one of the ACTS students. And in the dream, he was telling him that he's going to move to the Ganges, northern India in 2015. Jesse's there dreaming there now. I tell you what, when we start praying Ekbalo labors, God starts giving Macedonian man encounters. And you get thrown into the place and you're not guessing whether you're to be there or not. You have been Ekbaloed. So I'm all stirred about this, and I'm reading this book, and I could hardly believe this, and I actually feel like God's trying to move my heart to believe for him, with him for India. Dr. Alexander Duff, that great veteran missionary in India, returned to Scotland to die. As he stood before the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, he made his appeal, but there was no response. In the midst of his appeal, he fainted and was carried off the platform. The doctor bent over him and examined his heart. Presently, he opened his eyes. "Where am I?" he cried. "Where am I?" "Lie still," said the doctor. "Your heart is very weak." "But," exclaimed the old warrior, "I must finish my appeal. Take me back. Take me back. I haven't finished my appeal yet." "Lie still," said the doctor again. "You're too weak to go back." But the aged missionary struggled to his feet, his determination overcoming in his weakness. And with the doctor on his side and the moderator on the other side, the old white-haired warrior was led again to the platform. And as he mounted the pulpit steps, the entire assembly rose to do him honor. Then he continued his appeal. And when Queen Victoria calls for... And he continued his appeal. This was his appeal. "When Queen Victoria calls for volunteers for India," he exclaimed, "hundreds of young men respond. But when King Jesus calls, no one goes." Let me read it again. "When Queen Victoria calls for volunteers for India, hundreds of young men respond. But when King Jesus calls, no one goes." Then he paused. Again he spoke. "Is it true," he asked, "that Scotland has no more sons to give for India?" Again he paused. "Very well," he concluded. "If Scotland has no more young men to send to India, then old and decrepit though I am, I will go back. And even though I cannot preach, I can lie down on the shores of the Ganges and die, in order to let the peoples of India know that there is at least one man in Scotland who cares enough for their souls to give his life for them." In a moment, young men all over the assembly sprang to their feet, crying out, "I'll go, I'll go, I'll go." And after the famous missionary had passed on, many of those same young men found their way to India, there to invest their lives as missionaries as a result of the appeal God had made through them. Young man named Tyler is here with us tonight. He's traveled all over Nepal and India over the last months. Come here. I had a dream a week ago, and in the dream, this man named Daniel, who is actually leading the team to India, in the dream, he was holding up his cell phone. And in the dream, I was calling on God, and he held up his cell phone and he says, "You must listen to the prophetic word of Tyler." I believe the cell phone means it's a call. And Daniel Jacobs, can we edit this thing? Yes, thank you. He's the guy. I know it had to do with India. Just stick with me for a moment. Now, I don't think I shared this, but I want to give you faith today. It was years ago. I led a team across America on the Trail of Tears to pray for the ending of abortion. Before I went there, we had a dream that we were meeting a prophet named Bob Jones at the headwater, at the trail, at the beginning of the trail. I called this man up, but never talked to him before, never spoken to him on the phone before. He gets on the phone, he says, "I'll be there." We told him the dream. And he gave us a word, and he says this, listen to this word. He said, "You have eagles who have the prophetic word and fly in the heavens and get the prophetic word. But it's not enough to have the eagles. You need the wild honker geese flying in the second heavens, breaking through the powers of darkness to release that prophetic word into the ground, into the earth. Because of this word, I knew the Lord was saying, we'll be your hunkers, Bob. And so we carry this thing, and we've been carrying his prophetic words as intercessors to fast and pray for breakthroughs so that the word is not just up there, it actually is manifested on the earth. We need the long distance flyers fasting and praying in the heavens. So when we were done actually with that trip across the country, he called us. It said, you know, the flu is breaking out all across this nation. They're expecting 35,000 people to die, children primarily to die because of this flu. He says, tell those kids they've gained authority in the heavens through their prayer walk of 750 miles. Tell them they have authority to bind the flu and stop it in intercession. So we decided we'd gather together for a day of fasting with our team on December 21st. We prayed and we fasted and we said, God, we bind the flu in Jesus' name. So weird. Didn't feel anything. December 21st, we just prayed. USA Today, the following month, USA Today, front page, flu appears to be on decline in America. I turned the inside of the cover and they show a date graph of when it started to decline. And it started to decline, according to the USA Today, on December 21st. God, I believe, wants to raise up companies who fast and pray and get breakthroughs in the heavens so missionaries can reap the harvest in freedom that they've never known. What I'm saying today, I believe we're coming into a reformation of missions. I believe that reformation of missions is that God is going to raise up an air force as well as a ground force. An air force that wins battles in the heavens. I don't like that young lady. And that they reap the harvest because something has been broken in the heavenly dimension. So recently, we were in our 40-day fast at the Igbolo House of Prayer in Pasadena. We've established a house of prayer there at Mott Auditorium, named after John R. Mott, who is the student missions movement statesman of that great volunteer missions movement that you know about. And for 40 days, we fasted and we prayed Igbolo. And my friend had a dream. And in this dream, we were from this slab. We were shooting these arrows. The slab is where the slab of concrete where there used to be a house of prayer, but the foundation was still there. And we were shooting our bows and they were flying through Mott Auditorium and hitting the map in our prayer room in that building. And the arrows were flying. And he told me the dream. I said, you know what that means? It means from intercession, we are shooting forth missionaries and laborers, following laborers to strike the places of the earth. But in the dream, the next day he called me and said, oh, I forgot the other part of the dream. In the dream, there are these wild honkers, geese flying above the arrows. And he said, they were very distinctive. I've never seen anything like them. But they had orange beaks and orange feet, and they had these markings on their necks. And he said, Lou, I don't know. I said, I know what it means. It's not enough to send missionaries. We need to send intercessory air coverage and Air Force breakthroughs and moved. I think the church needs to think generals like our military does. In fact, the Air Force never tries to do what the Marines do. But what if we trained armies of men and women at an Air Force academy? That train them to fast and pray for breakthroughs. And then we're training at the, and we actually blitzkrieg the nations with synchronized military. Just dream with me a little bit. No, I'm really, now missions and prayer has never been separated. Missionaries have always prayed because if they didn't pray, they just got beat up and died. They learn to do spiritual warfare. But I think there's going to be more of an intensive focus dimension as we go to the final unreached people groups for breakthroughs in the heavens. He says, he calls me back. I'm flying to St. Louis, which is the place that's very significant to me, where I ended a 40-day fast in 2002. One of the most defining moments when God spoke to me that I was going to raise up the long-distance flyers who would fast and pray like Daniel, and breakthroughs in the heavens would take place. And in this, he calls me up. He says, Lou, I Googled. Thank God for Google. For the interpretation of dreams, Google has divine revelation. Now, for all this 40 days, we are praying for the Ganges, we are praying for the Himalayas, and we are praying for Varanasi. For 40 days fasting, God burdened us. He says, I found these, and I looked up, and I found the geese I saw in my dream. He says, the interesting thing is there's nothing like a, he said, they live in Tibet and they fly 21,000 feet, the highest flying bird in the world. They fly over the Himalayas at night and they land in Varanasi. At that moment, I'm in a dream stream of a circle of about 30 of us. This is how we get divine counsel. We actually have dream stream to get revelations. It's similar to YWAM's Listen to the Voice. I don't care how you do it, just get it. Let's just do it all. Voice, dreams, visions, audible voices, Jesus appearing. I'll take that one. And I share this. I said, I'm taking a team to breakthrough, pray for breakthrough. Very nice. Three people down, a young lady says, I had a dream last night that you were asking me to go to India to intercede. Another gal on the other side right here, she says, I had a dream last night that we were going to intercede at India. At that point, I knew we were going to go. It's interesting. Tyler is taking this. Tell him what you're doing.
Yeah. So what we're doing is there's a team of about five of us, and we're doing a documentary film series, a campaign. Each video will be 20 to 25 minutes. And we ended up somehow going to Pasadena right at the end of their Ekbalo fast. We meet with Lou through Divine Open Doors, and we tell him where we're going. And we said the Lord put on our hearts Northern India, Varanasi, Dharamsala, Kashmir, and then Nepal. And so we launched out in April, and for 3 months we were filming throughout the nation what God was doing for the purpose of capturing what God is, how God is moving, and bringing back the good report that the harvest truly is ripe. Like, we don't need to call it the hardest and darkest anymore. We don't need to curse it anymore. But we need to go to these places and believe that Jesus is going to receive his reward in these unreached people groups. And so we just believe that this Ekbalo sound, like Lou's trumpeting, he has the trumpet, and we want to put like imagery to his trumpet. And so we're believing that these films would go viral. It would just be a YouTube thing, not for profit. We just want to be nameless, faceless. We want to show what God's doing so that people can see it, and destiny is awakened on the inside of them. They see it in there. I was made to go for that. I was made to spend my life in Northern India. I was made to go to the Himalayas. We have friends that are already doing it. The Currys, the Scrobots, like, they're forerunners, and we're just believing that God would break through in the Himalayas and it would sweep across the Middle East and back to Jerusalem. And so we're on this journey, and we need your prayers.
Tell them your dream about doing this film with me.
Oh, yeah. I was doing my DTS in Herrenhut, Germany, and I'm not a film guy. It wasn't even on my radar. And I have this dream, and in the dream, I'm in Pasadena, and this is before Lou moved to Pasadena or anything, and I didn't know anything, and Lou comes up to me and he says, I'm here to recruit for the Great Commission. And then he goes, the video you guys are about to do is the same way Kony 2012 and Invisible Children, it went viral. God's going to put a spirit on it, and these films will go viral for the finishing of the Great Commission. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm going to have you stretch your hand. I want us to pray that this documentary, there would be an anointed, it would fly all over the globe. Come on, lift your voices and we pray. Father, we pray for this Ekbalo documentary. Lord, as they're going into the Himalayas, into that region, Nepal, India, Bhutan, we're praying that God, an anointing will come on media that will cause the sound to go global. It will be written in Chinese. It will be written in Indonesian. It will be written in Brazilian. God, it will be those headings and underneath, God, those letters. Father, we're captions, God, we're asking, mobilize the sound of Ekbalo. We're asking for 1 million worldwide to be praying, Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo, laborers into the harvest field. Use these men and women in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so we just believe that God truly gave Lou a trumpet with his Ekbalo message. And we just feel like we want to serve him in just the message of Ekbalo. Serve Jesus. It's Jesus' message. It always has been 2,000 years. He said, go to the ends of the earth. And so, so it's called Ekbalo Project. And our tagline is be the answer. So pray the prayer and then be the answer to the prayer. And so, be praying for us. Like, I share in meekness and humility because we're really new at it, but we're just believing that God gave us this word. And please pray that everything comes together, the script. We have all the footage for the first two films. So thank you so much. Yeah.
So it was a few days ago that I dreamed that this man says, you've got to listen to the message of Tyler. And I didn't know who Tyler was until my wife brings him over to me and said, Lou, this is, remember Tyler. And she says, I think this is your dream. Do you know what that means? If it's true, the sound of the call is Ekbalo laborers. He said to me later, he says, I believe that the Himalayas is the place of the most principalities and powers that are actually the great barrier from the movement of back to Jerusalem from China. And we have to break through the principalities and powers in the Himalayas so that the missionaries from China can blow through the... Come on! Now we're talking strategy. I'm reading stories of military operations and Air Force and stuff. The generals were so dumb. And I think it's time to start thinking like King Jesus general, with strategies that come straight down from heaven and revelation. What if we start sending for the next 7 years teams of fasting and prayer all across the Ganges, and YWAM all along is actually getting recruits of thousands preparing to sweep into this region and to harvest? Listen, if it was 20% of the Ganges that gets saved, it's like billion people or something. I mean, it's outrageous. Come on, I think it's time to synchronize movements. Prayer movements. Missions movements. Let's finish the task. That's not what I was preaching on. But that's a good one. Actually, tonight, I am just reviewing Ekbalo. And my daughter and my son's dream. I've been connected majorly to YWAM because of dreams. It's just how God does it with him. A dream, but my daughter just had another recent dream that I believe it is a word from God. Turn with me to Matthew 9:38. I'm just prophesying excitement into my own bones about this thing of India. I mean, that little ID, DNA, DIA, you can't, 2020 vision, you can't think of that in 1 million years. I love the wisdom of God. Matthew 9:38, let's look at 9:35. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, when he saw the masses, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I want to just stop right there. Tonight I'm going to share, I believe the Ekbalo prayer was first of all to hook our hearts of the possibilities that our prayer could actually unleash millions worldwide for the finishing of the great task. You may never be a missionary, but if you pray, Lord of the harvest, you are actually praying the very words that Jesus gave to his own disciples to set off the first great apostolic wave. And I hear another sound coming, the same word from Jesus. Pray the Lord of the harvest. That's the second part. But the first part is the dream I'm going to share in a moment that my daughter had just recently. And that dream has to do with a passion for souls. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Say compassion. Tonight, we are going to ask God for a supernatural work of tears, of travail, of brokenness, and love for souls. And tonight, I don't deserve to be here. I'm preaching to myself. I don't have a burden for the lost. I want one. And I'm asking God, because the YWAMer dwarves have prophesied over me, that I would be an evangelist. So I'm just believing that. But I'm going to be an evangelist. I need a burden for souls. I'm going to ask God that he would begin to release the travail that has always preceded the great harvest. I don't know if tonight that will happen, but I believe tonight something, just like 2 years ago, got initiated with Ekbalo. Something is going to get initiated tonight for a passion for souls. And what goes on tonight in a little seedbed, I believe if we take hold of this, people are going to start being burdened for souls like they've never. Stadiums are going to be filled in America with the vision that we're sending 200,000 of them to the missionary field to finish the task. I want to review Ekbalo, that word there, pray the Lord of the harvest. The Ekbalo labors into the harvest field. How many of you have heard the Ekbalo message? Raise your hands all across it. Everybody's heard it. The question is everybody doing it? How easily we lose our focus. I'm talking about myself. Tonight, I'm signing up again. We just get off into other things. We just confuse. I believe that the Lord, how this whole thing happened, God was trumpeting something that is going to explode all over the globe. A cry from his church that comes from Jesus in us. Lord of the harvest, thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. Like ball of laborers into the harvest field. Remember the story. I'm with the YWAM guys. They're in Orlando. They'd already prophesied that stadiums would be filled and the whole storyline. And by the way, we were just with the YWAM guys with Reinhard Bonnke and Jesus Culture here in Los Angeles. And what are they prophesying? What are they prophesying? Jesus Culture? Stadiums are going to be filled with souls. We're not the only ones saying it. When you start hearing it in different places, now you know the Lord speaking, because when God gives a dream, he's actually giving dreams all over the place. He's actually sowing the same word all over his body. We actually dream the dreams of a present historic moment that God is doing worldwide. Come on. Isn't that awesome? His dreams are falling everywhere. We dream a dream. Let's say it's for me. Well, if not just for you, we dream a corporate worldwide dream that is dawning in the earth. We just get in on it. Stadiums. I was around that swimming pool. Brian Brent, the adrenaline gland guy, talks about the names of these gatherings leading toward the stadium Christianity in America is Ekbalo. The word Ekbalo comes from the word, if I cast out demons, the word cast out. It is a forceful word. When Jesus ekbalos demons, demons gotta go. When Jesus ekbalos laborers, laborers gotta go. Now, I'm telling you, I just feel like callings are going to become so intensive. Not that we even need them, because we have the Bible. But I believe sovereign apostolic callings are coming on men and women. Two places. And some of us are actually going to be exported there by divine transportation. I've just recently been hearing stories of people who are in their spirit and they're actually bodily. They actually bodily leave. I just heard this story. A gal went to pray with her prayer partner and they got burdened for souls in a nation and they're just travailing. And suddenly, and her husband said, make sure you're home at noon. And she finds that they find themselves in another country ministering to this person in need. They don't even know what's going on. She's wakened up by her husband's crying her name, where are you? She had been gone for 3 hours. And he said, the only thing I could find was your purse. Let's tell the New Testament is not just for Philip. God's gonna cause us to fly into the most unreached people groups. Faith just got in my heart. I want to ask God, God, you did it to Philip. You sent him to there to Azotus. He just beamed up and went over. God, we're asking for testimonies of YWAM breaking out, even in America, where suddenly they're zoomed into a dorm room to preach the gospel. Father, we pray for faith to be born. Listen, I just had a dream the other night of people were being caught up into heaven. I just say, God, catch people up into heaven. Catch them up into the heavenly dimensions, God. I don't even know what that means, but just catch them up. Some of you are looking at me thinking, this is so bizarre. Just read the book of Acts. He just finds himself in Azotus, wherever that is. Anybody volunteer? I mean, come on. Star Wars has nothing on the Bible. Beam me up, Scotty. Where was I? He gives this word about Ekbalo and this word, the spiritual forceful thrusting forth when we pray, Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo labors. And I started praying that prayer and I saw almost immediate answers in the next months in my own family that the Lord was trying to create faith in me so that when I preached, I would create faith in you. That's what happens with testimonies. You tell testimonies. Testimonies put faith in you. You do it. And now suddenly my million worldwide are praying, Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo labors into the harvest field. My daughter comes to me. Gloria comes to me. This is for YWAM. In the dream, Lauren Cunningham is on a stage preaching on the mantle of Moses coming on Joshua, and in the dream, he's preaching. She's in the front row. He suddenly dies, falls to the ground, and she runs up and gives him CPR and starts crying. You can't die yet. The task isn't finished. You can't die yet. The task isn't finished. And suddenly he raises from the dead and says, it's not my task to finish. It's yours. If that is not an Ekbalo dream, I don't know what is. And because of that, she just spent the last months of her life in another country and preparing for missions work. My son, by the way, the task of Lauren Cunningham isn't finished. In fact, he said, when I talked with him, he said, the waves that I saw, they were so huge that the waves that I've seen in the last 50 years are nothing compared to the final wave that's coming. Somebody has got to pray laborers into the harvest field. Reese Howells, intercessor. I'm reading that story and I'm just reviewing for those who have heard to say, we got to re-sign up. Folks, I don't have any. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm a mobilizer. And until I got the job done, I've failed. And I'm saying this is the seedbed, the mustard seed that must grow into a huge tree that the birds of the nations nest in her trees. All I need is a seed. And a young man named Tyler takes that seed, starts to do a documentary, takes it over to Mexico. Mexico starts praying it. The next 10 years, the whole globe under a burden for souls. Lord of the harvest, bring back the king. Come on. Every tribe and every tongue around the throne. And I'm reading this. And he says, for years, Mr. Howells had been praying for the gospel to go to the world. Before he went to Africa, the Spirit brought before him God's promise to his son. He had not, in Psalms 2:8, ask of me, I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. He said, he had not let a day pass without praying that the Savior should have the heathen for his inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. Since the last time you heard me preach on this, have you not let a day pass when you didn't say, Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo laborers? I've let some day passes and I don't like it. Because I know he called me to this. Because when I read it, this is what rocked me. Then while in Africa, he had been struck by Andrew Murray's comment on the Savior's word in Matthew 9:38. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth, send forth laborers into his harvest field. Andrew Murray had pointed out on the strength of this verse that the number of missionaries on the field depends entirely. The number of missionaries, listen to it. Let it scream in your ears. The number of, this is Andrew Murray, not Lou Engle. Everybody loves Andrew Murray. He's dead. Not everybody loves Lou Engle. That guy's a raving maniac. Don't go looking me up on YouTube. The number of missionaries on the field depends entirely on the extent to which someone obeys that command and prays out the laborers. If that's true, there's 2.8 billion people that have never heard the gospel because we didn't pray laborers into the... I want to end that in my lifetime. I want to release a verse, one verse, to start a reformation of missions. The whole globe is praying, Lord of the harvest, hurl forth laborers into the harvest to the 7,000 unreached people. Anybody want to join me? I can feel it. I can, in my bones. It depends entirely on the extent to which someone obeys that command and prays out the laborers. And the Lord had called Mr. Howells to do that. And right there in that book, I wrote Lou Engle. God had called Lou Engle to do that. And for the next 20 years, I'm going to preach Ekbalo laborers until Jesus has had the gospel preached as a witness to every ethnic group. And then comes, I want to participate in the great program of heaven. I read that. I was all in. My whole life shifted. I'm trying to paint some. I'm going to go a little while yet tonight. I don't care what you think. I mean, the reason I'm doing that is not because I just a big man. I'm laying a foundation to give you faith of what's coming. Now, I came from Mott Auditorium where we saw a revival for years. It's named after John R. Mott and the U.S. Center for World Missions. It was named after him. It's a huge building, seats about 3,000 people. And it was dedicated to John R. Mott, who was the missionary statesman in the end of the 1800s that saw 100,000 missionaries named John R. Mott, missionaries that went to the nations. And I've been praying for a student volunteer missions movement for many, many years. And so I go to Mike Bickle after being here 5.5 years. And I said, Mike, I'm in a transition. I don't know where I'm going, but I got to go. I got to do this. And Mike says, you got to go. When he heard the prophetic story, he said, Lou, I've been praying for you for 5 months that you would receive your inheritance back in Pasadena, Mott Auditorium. Now I'm starting, oh my God, I'm starting to think, don't you love the guidance of God? And it's not just for Lou Engle, it's everybody. Just start following his voice. If you hang around the Dream King, you get into a dream stream. You join yourself to a dream team and you do the Martin Luther King thing. That's how it works. if you keep following the voice, don't shut down in some season of your life because you got hurt. You shut down the whole storyline. Hurt means promotion. Ask Joseph. You pass John Dawson, your guy, said the key to promotion in the kingdom is how do you respond when you're hurt by your closest friends or your own brethren. If you get bitter, you lose. People said, well, Joseph should have never shared his dream with his brothers. How else is he going to get to Egypt? That's God's way of sending. Get fired, get happy. It's a promotion. Well, don't go get fired. Give us some men and women with a flaming tongue that can't be silenced because they've received a baptism from the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders. God, give us men and women like that who pray and fast until heaven has ascended on their lives. Come on, I pray that right now. Raise up revivalists. Raise up revivalists all across this place. Men and women who live for one thing, revival and missions, God. Lord, I'm asking you, even as I was saying that, I felt power, I felt virtue come in, and fire entered into some men's and young ladies' hearts. That was a sense of a divine work in your own heart. Say yes to it and say, God, whatever it takes, here am I, send me. Go ahead, call on him. Go ahead, Father, go ahead, pray. Here am I, send me, put a fire in me. Give me a flaming tongue. God, raise up flaming tongues. In this dream, my daughter, Gloria, she saw the face of John Armott. Could you put that back up there? I wanted you to just show that. That's John Armott, the nations of the earth. That's Lou Engle right there, the bald guy. This gal is in Boston, a house of prayer targeting Boston. But her real dream is Bradford College. It's where Adoniram Judson took a young lady named Ann Hazeltine, married her. And those two went to Burma, and the rest is history. The great missions where she came out of Bradford College. That young lady for years had been crying, give me Bradford College for a student volunteer missions movement. But she said, well, God, I'm in Boston praying. My longing is Bradford, but I know you have me in Boston praying for the Harvard and the universities. But she's wrestling in her soul. And she got, and a man from Bethel in Reading comes, he's in a meeting, he walks up to her, doesn't know her, she didn't know you. He says, the Lord says that your prayers in Boston for the universities will be the spark that lead to the crossroads of a student volunteer missions movement in Bradford College. What do you do with dream words like that? You dare to believe him and you stay in that territory. Come hell or high water, this is my land and this is my promise. Hold that thing. So in this dream, my daughter Gloria, she's there, and suddenly I say, Gloria, go get me that book in the car. I need that book. She says, I strap on my shoes real tight to run. Hello, I got my son's shoes tonight in case we start throwing shoes. I'm not giving mine away anymore. I'm giving. And in this dream, she says, in this dream, she starts to take off. And then she turns around and says, Dad, what's the name of the book? And in the dream, I said, you must get a passion for souls. That's the book. She says, I feel, as she's running, so much resistance. She's almost ready to quit. Finally, she gets to the car, and there's so much stuff in the car, so much confusion. It's so difficult to get to find the book, but she finally reaches around and finds this book, and she gets a passion for souls. Tonight, I don't believe that's an accident. This book is a brilliant, incredible book. You can't even find it. In fact, would somebody Google that first so I can get the only copy left on Google before everybody else starts ordering it here? Stop it. Don't even go there. A Passion for Souls. This is a pastor that wrote a book. Billy Graham autographed. Billy Graham did the foreword. And this is what I believe it means. If we're going to get another student volunteer missions movement, we need a supernatural move of a passion for souls. Not a book, but a man inside of us who felt compassion for the lost. When I first got saved, the burden for souls was so strong because I had freshly been taken out of hell. God, I need a new passion for souls. I need a supernatural work. We need a travail for souls of tears of intercession. I believe the confusion and all the stuff in the car is this. We're doing so many things, but the one thing I'm after is I don't want to give my company, my people, a passion for souls. You're going to have to fight through all the stuff and all the voices. Listen, Jesus the evangelist is about ready to rise and manifest himself above the fivefold ministry. There are times when Jesus goes buff on one of those five. Pastors teach. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But there are times when he manifests himself in certain seasons as the evangelist. And he did it in the 70s in the Jesus movement where thousands were being saved worldwide. I believe we're entering another day. And that's why God raised up Ekbalo. He raised up circuit riders and a vision of stadiums and missions. Why? Jesus, the Billy Graham evangelist, is coming again. That's why Reinhard Bonnke is prophesying that all of America will be saved. Listen, that's what he prophesied. Listen, he's not just here to try to raise money. I've heard him. He is burning with a vision that stadiums are going to be filled and souls are going to be saved with signs and wonders. When we hear these things, we don't take them casually. We put our head between our knees. Give birth to stadium Christianity. Lord of the harvest, Ekbalo labor. Give me a passion for souls. Tonight, we're going to pray for a passion for souls. Tonight, I want to loose something. I don't believe it's a cheap little dream. I believe it's really the first part. It's actually the impetus behind the prayer Ekbalo. A burden and a passion for souls. How many of you tonight said, I'm going to put my shoes on. Preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'm going to go after a passion for souls. If I have to pray for it every day for a year, break my heart for the lost until all I can think about is preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I wish I could read the first chapter of this book. The book is worth the whole. I am going to read it. And then I want to tell you, God is going to release a passion for souls. I believe we haven't even touched the point of travail. Where those revivalists of the past would travail 36 hours at a time, groaning for souls to be saved. Can I read something to you? From a great book called Digging the Wells of Revival, you know. The author is kind of weird, but his name's Lou Engle. Listen to this. Mario Murillo, he was an evangelist in the 70s in Berkeley during the student radicals season, the student radicals and the upheaval. He says he had been an evangelist there and almost felt like quitting because he had almost lost his son and he was so discouraged. He basically told his staff to dismantle. That day as he's leaving Berkeley to quit, he was caught into a traffic jam of students. And the Lord spoke to him, turn around and go back. I called you to reach the students of Berkeley. He said, when I turned around and regathered my staff, little did I know that I had just fulfilled the requirements of revival prayer. It was over my dead body. Something's going to break. At 3 a.m., for no earthly reason, I woke up screaming. I sat up in bed and could not stop the mysterious gusher of grief that was exploding from my soul. I threw on my clothes and raced out of my house. I walked for miles sobbing. So there I was, staggering through the night, desperately trying to find a place to release this torrent of prayer. Hours passed, and I found a lake and buried myself in the thickest part of the trees and bushes. To describe the travailing and unutterable groanings is futile. Simply believe me when I say that time stopped. My soul went behind the veil. All my life, I had wanted to pray like that. Anybody relate? I've longed all my life. I'm 60 years old. I've longed, I've asked the Lord, someday bring me into a travail of souls where I'm swept away in the agony of Jesus. Because when that happens, I know revival's on the way. I'm not saying we have to wait for that to see it. I am saying that's coming. Because before every great birthing, there's always travail. Ask any mom. All my life, I'd wanted to pray like that. I knew that heaven heard and that hell dreaded the answer, and that was to come. The very place of prayer seemed to shine with God's glory. Then, as I never have heard his voice before, Jesus said to me, "The power of Satan in this city has been pierced tonight. Now you will see a breakthrough. I have given you the city." I felt elated that God had given me the city. I knew the frustration of the past was gone. I zealously approached student after student, simply waiting to tell them that Jesus loved them. Then my hope was shattered. A tall, muscular student radical flew into a rage. "Jesus loves me, does he? Well, I hate him and I hate you," he said. And with that, he spit in my face and tore up my literature. A crowd was gathering to watch the preacher pay for being on campus. Standing there alone, I felt betrayed and totally humiliated. This was despair I felt sure I would never recover from. And then, without warning, a pleasant-looking young man stepped right up to the radical and confronted him gently but firmly. "Do you know who this man is?" he asked. The radical, somehow knowing he should back off, calmed down and responded, "No, I don't know who he is." "This is Mario Murillo, a man of God," the young man said, "and God has given him the city." And saying that, he cast deep, confident, knowing, loving eyes on me. Those eyes looked deep within my soul and confirmed the promise God had made me the night before. Normally, the kinds of words he used would evoke laughter from the listening students. For some reason, there was a sense of respect and recognition. The radical apologized for his misbehavior, and I told him I accepted his apology. Then I turned to find the young man, but he had vanished. An angel? I've wondered for years, and I still don't know. What I do know is that on that day, an awakening began, and within 2 years, we had prayed with almost 2,000 young people to give their lives to Christ. I'm not going to read the rest of this. Maybe if I share any more later on this week. I feel tonight that I'm going to ask God that he'll begin to release a burden for a passion for souls. You must get a passion for souls, no matter what resistance, what confusion, and all the voices. Tighten up your shoes and go get a passion for souls. I'm going to have a few people share testimonies that just recently have been taking place. I've experienced travail maybe 2 or 3 times in my life, short moments of travail. I can tell you my whole journey started with a dream that I had in which I was driving a car and there was a young man next to me. And in the dream, I said, "Who's your father?" And he said, "I don't have a father." And in the dream, I began weeping profusely. And I woke up and my whole bed was soaked with tears. I know the Spirit of God was giving me the youth of America. And I was bearing some of his travail and his tears for a generation. I remember after 30 days of fasting, I went into travail, and that the following Sunday, a breakout of revival took place, and for weeks, souls were being saved, not even with altar calls. They just got saved during worship. It was the Lord. The Lord broke into our meetings. I know it had to do with groaning. I remember thinking, I know something is about ready to break because of that travail that came upon me. Tonight, I'm going to ask those 4 people to come or so. I'm going to share the testimonies. And tonight, we're going to begin to ask God, give us tears. Give us a passion for souls. We're going to pray Ekbalo, and we're going to pray, God, give us a passion for souls. What's recently happened, Jake?
Yeah, on Sunday night, a week ago, just before the Daniel fast began, I told my team, these are all from my team going to North Africa this fall, and there's some more here. I told my entire team, guys, this Daniel fast is so significant for what the Lord is doing in this community, and it's so significant for the revelation God is going to give in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, and it's so significant for what God is going to do on our Acts outreaches. And I had listened to a Leonard Ravenhill sermon on weeping for souls. I said, we need to weep for souls in North Africa. We need to weep for Muslims. We need to get tears shed for these people. How do we expect to move these people when they're so gridlocked in their mind on Islamic theology? We need to weep for these people so that we will go in and God will give us these people. And so I told him this, and most of our team consecrated that night. And then when Lou came on Wednesday to our Acts school, it just broke something in the room. And some of us, it actually happened that day that God just dropped his heart for souls just in a radical way. For me, it happened on Thursday afternoon at 2:00. My left foot began to swell up, and it felt like someone had stomped on my foot extremely hard. I could barely even walk. And then later that night, I asked my roommate, I said, Zach, you got to pray for my foot. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know if it's demonic or if I got something happened. I have no idea. I hadn't done anything to my foot. And he lays his hands on my foot, and I began crying. And the Lord showed me the streets of North Africa and the streets of the Middle East and Muslims. And I just began crying and crying out, Lord, you have to save them. You have to save the Muslims, God. You have to do something. And I asked the Lord, like, Lord, what's going on in my foot? I don't understand my foot. And all the Lord, I could hear him speaking. He said, when the prophecy about Jesus, that Jesus is going to step on the head of the serpent and the serpent's going to bruise his heel. And I felt like maybe Satan stepped on my foot that day. He's trying to stomp on my foot to keep me from stepping on the serpent's head in the nations of the earth.
So on Wednesday, when Lou came and talked to the Acts school and the One Thing internship, he preached this almost exact message. And then we got up and we prayed for the nations of the earth. And we prayed for the places that the Acts school is going. And the Lord dropped in my heart a burden for souls. And I started weeping under the Lord's heart, a little bit of the Lord's heart for the souls that do not know him. And I got a heart for Muslims because they cry out day after day to a God who cannot see them, to a God who cannot hear them, who does not love them. And they pray 5 times a day to a God who does not know. And I got a heart for these Muslims that they would know Jesus, a God who actually loves them, a God who actually knows them and can hear them. And so I started weeping under this, and the Lord said, you need to go. You need to go, because if you don't go, the blood is on your hands. If you don't go, the blood of their souls is on your hands. And then on sometime during this last week, I think on Thursday or Friday, it's Monday, I don't really know. And then the Lord sent me a dream, and it was in, like, I was in a birthing class. And so I woke up thinking, okay, like, something's getting birthed in the spirit, even during this 21-day fast. And then I woke up, and it was 5 a.m. And so my roommates were getting ready. And I saw this girl walk into our room, and she's maybe like 14. I could see what she was wearing and how her hair was. She looked really real to me. And she was carrying this glass of water. And so she walked in, and my roommates came, and they started drinking the water. And I looked at her, and I said, no, you're a demon. You need to get out. So she ran out. And I was in the prayer room that morning, and I said, Lord, what was that? What do you want to, like, what do you want me to pray for? And he said, the body needs to be unified in what's going on in the spiritual realm, because if everyone isn't knowing what's going on, we're going to miss what God's doing. We're going to miss what he's saying. And I want to be one who knows what he's doing, what he's saying, so I can pray, so I can go out, so I can have a burden. I can do and partner with what he's doing. So I need to be able to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. And so then I went into 3.5 hours of intercession and travail, that the body of Christ and that our Acts group would be in corporate understanding of what's going on in the spiritual realm, that we would actually see angels and demons and what's going on, that we could partner with the Lord. So that's what happened this week.
Yeah, so when Lou came speaking class, he really hit everything the Lord had been speaking to me about having my heart gripped for souls and wanting discernment to know what he's doing in the nation. And after he prayed for us that for the nations that we would just be gripped, and I just began to weep and just be gripped with travail and what God's doing. And I just went, someone opened up a room, and I just wept before the Lord, knowing that he's real, and that these Muslims, they have no idea. They have no idea that this Jewish man loves them. They have no idea, and it's our job to go. It's our job. Those prayers, what Jesus was talking about, he was speaking about us, and that we have to go. If we want him to come back, we have to. So, yeah.
I guess the Lord has just really laid on my own heart in this last week, just a really deep burden for families, mine in particular. And then from there, he's kind of like spread it out, for other family members that are lost. And yeah, it's just been a really deep burden on my heart for that. And just, you know, even in the prayer room in our hours, like just getting up and I'll just start, you know, praying with what's going on the mic. But then it just switches right into family. And I just find myself just pacing back and forth kind of in my own world for a little while. And then I know that was what I was supposed to share, but also it kind of is really cool with what Lou was talking about tonight, because yesterday I kind of saw this this vision of this darkness that was breaking out, and as I was speaking against it and as I was praying against it, it started to go away, but it kept breaking out and it started dripping down, and I saw like light streaks going through it to break it off, but it kept dripping down, and it dripped down and formed legs and even formed feet. And but as it was forming feet, it was being caught in this bucket, and then I saw this bucket just dump. It was like an oil that was just being dumped over Northern Africa, and I was so frustrated because I couldn't stop it. And I was just really upset. And I was just saying, no, no, no. And what was so cool is that the Lord showed me that this is darkness that covers the area, but the wave, because we've also had visions of like waves crashing over Northern Africa, that won't wash it away. But when the light strikes and when the fire strikes, what used to be what the darkness that holds them down is actually going to be the fuel to the fire that lights them up. And then tonight, even with the tongues of flames, that the words that they speak, that's the fire that's going to light. And so I was even burdened further for praying for the people that are there laboring right now, for the teams that we have over there right now, that as they're learning the language and as they're digging in, that they're going to have the words to speak to just start those fires, to light up those areas that have been covered in darkness.
And then this week, too, I was just speaking with a friend, the truths of God, like how he has directed steps and how he's been calling all of us to go. And just in obedience and love for God, we go. But out of talking about that, I just had this burden and I could not stop crying. I barely could stop crying enough to drive. I got home and I was just on my floor weeping and I couldn't get up for a long time. Just weeping, and I kept saying, we need you, God, we need you. Like, we can't go anywhere without him. But that's why he's calling lovers of God to go. That's why he's calling us to go, is because we are connected with him. And if we go, we are going with him and with his purposes. And it's not by our strength or might, but it's by his spirit. So,
Can I have the worship team? Thank you. Just stay here. Just stay. Can I have the worship team? I'd like to actually, if we could play that song, Every Nation, Every Tongue. Tonight, I want to ask God to release something even beyond this place. I want to ask God to begin to release a worldwide passion for souls. Can you believe for that? My daughter's dream rocked my world. I know she's a prophet to me. And I want to just say tonight, some of you are going to come forward and say, God, from this day forward, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to pray, Lord, ekbalo labors. But Lord, give me a passion for souls. The team comes. It was in Sacramento 2 years ago that Sam Cerny of the X took a group of about 20 kids. For 21 days, they prayed and fasted. In Sacramento, I saw this with my own eyes. the night of the call there in Sacramento, toward the end of it, we could hear a sound. It was louder than the sound of the speakers. Trez, you remember that. And those kids, they were coming up onto the stage, and suddenly they just all fell to the ground and began wailing. Wailing. It was travail for souls. Went on and on and on. After the call, I was back with those kids, and they were debriefing. It was just a regular night. They're telling this story, and that one lady said, Gail suddenly had a vision of all these souls going to hell. And she began wailing, and a sovereign wave swept the kid. And for hours, wailing for souls. I was, actually, our family was there. I had to leave. I was there for 2 hours. And they just went on and on, wailing for souls. Sometime later, we heard of a young man that had been ministering in Oak Grove, the very place where they were praying, outside of Sacramento. That young man was in 5 public high schools, had about 35 kids in the high schools. In 1 month, their gatherings had grown to 500 and 600 in the public schools. Kids getting saved, Muslims getting saved. Travail brought forth a move of God that even the education system of that region tried to kick the guy out. He had shaken the whole student body and public schools of that whole region. He's now in Los Angeles, and it's beginning to happen in Los Angeles. I told him I'd tell that story tonight. Tonight, I want to ask God, give us travail. Give us a burden for souls. Give us what Mario Murillo. God, I want you to just stand with me. And if you want to, I'm going to, you guys, actually, we just want you to pray. We'll lay hands. We're going to pray for a burden for souls. And any of us could do that, but we want to do that here. But I want to just ask you tonight, you can keep your shoes on tonight. But you're saying tonight, I'd like to come forward and build an altar. I'm going to pray, Lord of the harvest, Ekpal the laborers. And tonight I'm asking God, I'm going to ask you to come forward, build an altar here. Some of you just kneel down and pray, just come. And we're going to pray, and you're going to begin to jump. You can hold hands with one another. In fact, get on your faces, on your knees. Let's just begin to cry to God. Give us a launch something here tonight. Of a I said to my daughter, you must get a passion for souls. I want a passion for souls. Break my heart, God. Begin to call on Him today. Here am I. Send me my son's dream. Here am I. Some of you are going to go as intercessors in the Air Force into those places to break it open. Some are going to go give their lives on the fields. It starts with Jesus' compassion. He was moved with compassion. And He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. Tonight, Lord God, I ask you tonight, break something open in the heartland of America that affects all the universities. Thousands being saved in Ekbalu for the sake of missions. Go ahead as they sing. Pray, God, give me soul. All the nations and all the nations.